Fat Chance by Jenny McDade. Episode 2, Celebrity Square.
And another warm welcome this week, imaginary viewers, to my very own little Blue Peter studio, otherwise known as my bedroom, where I have recently enjoyed a sticky back plastic moment with my little Blue Peter friends. Ooh. And as you may or may not know already, my name is Graham, and one of these days, my dream is to become one of the all-time great talents of showbiz, along the lines of Anthea Turner, perhaps. Yes, I have my sights set on being a Blue Peter presenter! But as there have never been any overweight Blue Peter presenters before, to my knowledge, I have recently signed up as a member of Wendy Bottomley's Slimming Club.
Oh, no.
What is it, Wendy?
Apologies from Tina Tattersall this week, who is apparently now busy stalking her husband, the love rat.
That's the trouble with these so-called classes, isn't it, dear? You start off with people assuring you they'll come every week, and then gradually, one by one, like flies, they all start dropping off. Still, fortunately, it won't matter how few fatties turn up next time, as he won't be there either, will you, Wendy?
What are you talking about, Clive?
Well, the invitation's been propped up on our mental piece for weeks. Don't tell me you haven't seen it while dusting, dear.
Oh, that.
The most important date in the whole working year, is it not? For those, like me, who toil in toilet tissue.
It's
the night
not.
The industry of toilet tissue confers its awards, dear, and honours its own. See? Invitation even has your name printed on it.
No, it hasn't. It just says Clive Bottomley and wife stroke partner.
Well, that's those not to offend those who have made honest women of those that they live with.
Lucky women.
Plus the head of perforations, who always takes his friend Lance along.
I don't know why you make such a big deal about it every year, Clive. I mean, it's not as if you ever win anything, is it?
Yeah. But as my firm's biggest night of the year, dear...
Yes, Clive?
I can't turn up on my own.
So, it's Friday night yet again, and once more, the Bottomleys are, well, not seeing eye to eye.
So, this is the way things are going to be from now on, is it, Clive?
What? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not with you.
The pattern of Fridays to come for the future.
What?
Every Friday you're going to come up with some reason why I should be trapped somewhere with you and not doing what I want to do for a change.
All I'm saying is, dear, we already have a life that I've carefully mapped out, full of interesting things that we can both do together.
Like making our own compost?
On Mondays.
And visiting the bottle bank?
Tuesdays, yes. So why bother to create another life apart from me, when the one we've already got is so enjoyable?
Okay, Clive. First turning on the left.
What?
Stop the car!
Wendy, why are we stopping here? Robert the Bruce Retirement Homes for the Elderly? Who do we know lives here, dear? Not one of your top-heavy brigade, by any chance?
I won't be long.
But, Wendy Wobblykins, we haven't time to make house calls this time of night, especially when we're in our best bib and tucker. Wendy, in case you've momentarily forgotten, the world of toilet tissue awaits.
This is Mrs. Enright, Clive.
How do?
She isn't a serious member of my slimming group, so missing one week for her isn't crucial.
What?
Luckily, as you can see, she still possesses a nice long dress.
Wendy, the woman smells a bomb off balls.
She also still has...
the old dress.
And a
good appetite for me, people tell me.
But I can't turn up at some posh hotel tonight with someone who looks like Grandma Buggins on my arm. Wendy!
Thus began Slimming Club Week 2. And not only was the spurned wife of the love rat not there, someone else wasn't there either.
So, no Graham tonight, Mrs. Pitscotty?
No, Lee. No, Graham is out. With a woman.
Of course, that meant I missed the good old weigh-in.
Oh, well done, class. Everyone has lost at least 2 pounds.
Oh. Also missed tasting something low-calorie Mrs. Bottomley had whipped up beforehand in the ladies' loo.
Mmm, oh, that's delicious.
And missed this week's riveting topic of discussion, which apparently turned out to be...
What different reasons do we have, class, that makes us want to lose weight? The most common I usually find, class, is something like wanting to fit into a bikini this summer. What about you, Sue?
Well, this is perhaps going to sound silly, but I'd like to introduce my son, Graham, to the slim mummy he never had.
Oh. Has anyone another reason? Yes, Kelly.
Bit of a surprise here, Mummy said later, to see last week's shy, jelly Kelly suddenly up on her feet.
My name is Kelly Marie Chambers, as you all know. And as you also all know, I work in motorway services. Anyway... One day, I was having a good old chew on my nails, like you do when you've got no customers queuing, when Dawn, who works on buns, scones and tea cakes, she's a bit of a personal hygiene problem, but we try to ignore that. Anyway, she says to me,
Kelly Marie, you don't get out much, do you, most evenings?
I said, sadly, no, I don't, Dawn.
She said, I was like you once, you know, at a loose end most evenings.
But she says she's not at a loose end no more. She says, I've got solution for you.
Oh.
Well, naturally, I was, of course, intrigued. I thought, good old Dawn, she is kind, even if you can't always go that close to her. Then I said, well, go on then, Dawn, spit it out. She said, she's got into pen pals. I said, I see. She said, well, aren't you interested, Kelly Marie, or not? I said, I don't know. Suppose it could be something different. She said, she's writing to a soldier called Dave, who's somewhere in... Is it Cyprus or Bosnia? She says, why don't you give it a try?
I thought, well, I've nothing to lose. I thought, a soldier, that'd do me.
Then Contact Magazine wrote back and said they'd run out of soldiers. Oh. But, in the meantime, would I like to perhaps try writing to a blog who'd been on their books quite a while in what they called Box 251. Oh. Dawn said you never know who you might get. Could be someone in Hungary, perhaps, or even Huddersfield.
Oh. But what had happened to me, eh? You're all wondering. Why was I not there? Let me put you out of your misery. What happened was... I was at home, getting ready, fully intending to be at the second slimming club session, and I was just pinning on my precious Blue Peter badge...
Ow!
...when the phone suddenly rang. It was...
Tina Tattersall, Mrs.
A woman, you'll recall, who can talk like a newly released enema.
Graham, I wonder if I could have a quick word?
I said, you can if you hurry. She says, the matter's a bit delicate.
I need an escort for the night, Graham.
Now, our class leader, Wendy, told us that first week that as a group, we must try to be there for each other. So I tell Tina, Tattersall, Mrs., that of course I'm at her disposal whenever. She says it will mean missing tonight's session with Wendy. I say, no worries, woman, okay?
Graham?
Yeah?
You sure you're all right, are you?
Why?
Honey, you sound a bit out of breath.
Well, then she went on to say...
You say, I overheard my husband booking a table for two.
Two? Not including you, I take it.
Correct.
So, on some sort of spy mission in our way.
I'll pick you up around 8.
Then again, she says, are you sure you're all right? I said, yes. Then I thought, since we are clearly going to become sort of friends, I'd confide in the old dear. Can you keep a secret, Mrs. Tattersall?
Gina? Yes?
Well, see, I have finally decided my future. What I mean is, I can't stay a pick-a-mix replenisher at Woolies forever. And what I've decided is, no, don't laugh, is that I want to be a Blue Peter presenter. Oh, but to be a Blue Peter presenter, you have to be able to do certain things. Number one, being able to trampoline while conducting an interview.
So, you're trampolining while talking to me, are you, Graham?
As a matter of fact, yes, I am. Woo! So while my mummy and all the others were getting weighed in that night, I was at home, right, brushed, bathed and waiting. Tina Tattersall picks me up on the dot and drives us off to some hotel!
One has booked a table for two, within spying distance of another table for two, booked in the name of Tattersall, waiter.
The waiter looked at us a bit funny.
This way.
But sat us down right enough. Now, there are many irritations in life, are there not? But they pale into insignificance. Let me assure you that nothing is more buttock-clenchingly boring than dining out with a dieter. Who subsequently takes hours perusing the rotten menu, trying vainly to find something low-calorie to eat. Which is why, not surprisingly, I suddenly found myself wishing that instead of being here with old Tina Tattersall...
Let me see now.
That I'd, you know, gone to Wendy Bottomley's class instead.
Any road. Where was I, Wendy?
Pemple.
Oh, right, yes. And I was in luck. Box 251 wrote that right away, class. Dawn says,
what's he like then, Kel?
I told her, far as I can tell, he seems nice. She said,
what's his name? I said, Tyrone.
She said, that's a bit of a shame. Oh. Then, shortly after, Dawn said, your friend's in again. I said, what friend? She said, him. Sat on table for one, but you've not yet wiped down. I said, oh, him. He comes in quite regular these days for a chocolate chip muffin. You could break your teeth on them chocolate chips, Dawn said. I laughed. I said, I don't expect at his age he's got many to break, Dawn. Dawn says, I think I saw him wink at you then. I said, I may be hard up for men, but I wouldn't give that one belly room. Besides, I've got box 251, my pen pal, Tyrone, to write to now.
Meanwhile, back at our hotel, the dieter had at last made her decision.
Oh, it'll have to be the Caesar salad.
Right.
But without the lardons of bacon, of course. Oh, and no dressing either. Oh, and no croutons.
So, eventually, a pile of plain shredded lettuce arrives. Then suddenly, Tina, Tattersall and Mrs. turns white and stiffens.
Here they come now, Graham.
Who? Where?
Look at the woman, Graham. Barely recognisable, of course, out of her outsized motorbike leathers.
Where?
Graham, you cannot miss her. The woman is built like a lorry driver, and yet my husband apparently still prefers her to immaculate, well-honed little me. Quick, they're looking in our direction now, Graham.
Mrs. Tattersall?
Tina, yes.
You've got your hand on my hand.
Yes, I know, Graham. Just act natural and look at me lovingly.
Mrs. Tattersall, I'm sure you're good for your age, but I have to confess something to you right now. You do absolutely nothing for me. Mrs. Tattersall, how can I put this? No offence, but
attractive as you are in a gaunt sort of way, of course. I mean, it's not that I don't think you're a really nice person. It's just that I have a major difficulty.
Graham, my husband is bonking a woman twice my size, a woman with unshaven legs, a woman the size of Anne Widdicombe.
Oh, Mrs. Tattersall.
Tina.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been really nice, and thank you for the meal and all, but I better be off now.
Stop sitting down, Graham.
Of course. Love to stay longer with you.
So, Kelly's got herself a boyfriend. At last. Which is her reason for wanting to lose weight. Isn't that nice, class?
The only one not that pleased at this news was... my mummy, of course.
So, Mrs. Tattersall, meal over now?
Yes, Graham.
So, how long do we stay sitting in the hotel lobby for?
Till they come out.
Mr. Tattersall, your husband and his blob of totty?
And when they do and are in earshot, I want you to get up then, Graham.
Uh-huh.
Go over and book us both a room.
You want me to what?
Book a room.
Just the one?
Graham, this is an hotel.
Which has lots of rooms, Mrs. Tattersall. You sure, just the one?
Yes, of course. Don't be dense, Graham.
Whatever.
Oh, here they are. Off you go. Oh. And saunter like you're full of yourself, Graham.
Right.
Yes, sir?
You know how it is. How your mouth just won't work sometimes. Well, that was how it was for me at that moment.
How may I be of help to you?
Looking
for a bit more privacy, are we, sir?
I've never done this sort of thing before.
So you'd like to...
Apparently, I'd like to book a room.
Understood.
Yes, for me and... Woman.
Understood, sir.
Yes, the woman over there. The old one, in the unflattering pink.
I think I can find a key for you and madam somewhere here. Ah, yes.
We recently met at a swimming club.
Double, twin, or...
Honeymoon suite would be nice, Graham.
Monsieur, madame, your suite.
Oh, this is nice, Graham, isn't it?
Mrs. Tattersall, Tina.
Thank you. That will be all.
She said. Flopping unalluringly down on the bed. Mrs. Tattersall, escort for the night was all you said. Mrs. Tattersall.
Tina, please. Come and sit down, Graham, here next to me.
Mrs. Tattersall.
Tina.
You're not after my body, are you? What I'm saying is, attractive as you undoubtedly are to someone, well, old and desperate...
Oh, Graham, you are funny. You're not really into women, are you?
You mean you knew all along?
Of course I did, Graham. I mean, your mother might pretend otherwise, but I knew right away. Graham, you didn't think I'd invited you up here for, well, you know.
Rumpy pumpy.
Graham, this is my revenge best tasted cold.
Oh, sorry, I'm not with you.
All that palaver in the lobby down there.
Yeah.
It was an act, wasn't it, Graham? To let my husband Tony Tattersall think that I too had made a conquest. Let him know he's not the only one who can attract the opposite sex or have a bit on the side. I made sure he and Mrs. Marigold Gloves saw us both, Graham. Swanning into the lift, me twirling our room key.
But isn't this costing you a bomb, Mrs. Tattersall?
No, look. Credit card in the name of Tony Tattersall. Paid for it all.
So you mean... I can go now.
Of course you can.
Oh, right. Well, after all I'd gone through that night, I felt my favourite pub, the Mucky Duck, irresistibly beckoning. Anyway, I was on my tod at the bar,
when another old biddy appears.
A very large V&P.
I looked at her a more, because she looked, I don't know, sort of familiar. So I said, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" She said,
"Sweetie, everybody says that."
Then I suddenly realised where I knew her from. "I know where I've seen you. When I was a kid, you were on children's telly."
"Wasn't I just?"
"You played... you were in the children's TV series, Play Farm. You were Farmer Playful's pet
doctor."
"Oh, me and my mummy, we were big fans of yours in those days, very long, long ago."
"Why, thank you."
"Oh, sorry, I don't know your real name. Only know you as the duck."
"It's Sally. Sally Squires. Star of stage and screen."
Star being somewhat of an exaggeration. Sally's had clearly slipped from the showbiz firmament in the meantime. "So what are you doing now, eh, Sal? Not seen you on the box for some time."
"I'm looking around for fresh challenges."
"Oh, so doing beggar all, eh, basically. So that was what? Your professional peak, was it? Playing the duck? Not that there's anything wrong in that, of course."
"After the duck made my name, I thought I was on a roll. I thought, you know, next stop, RSC."
"After playing a duck?"
"And when I call my agent to complain about the work drying up, as you do, Greg."
"Graham?"
"You know what she says? She says, well, you're hardly a spring chicken these days, you know. Your best days could be behind you. And perhaps you might get a bit more work if you shaped up a bit and lost a few pounds. You know, the last job I had was a dead body in the bill, Graham."
"Well, it is hard to sit there and look, throw a good bottle of vodka down her throat and do nothing to help her. So I said, a sort of, what, icon of your youth, even if she was only a duck, throw a good bottle of vodka down her throat and do nothing to help her. So I said, perhaps your agent has a point. A new shape. A new you. A new revitalised career, even." And after she'd lifted her face up out of her glass, I encouragingly added, "So, Sal, me duck, all is not lost after all. Help is at hand. Do not despair. There is a certain Wendy Bottomley woman." She said, "What the heck are you going on about?" I said, "Oh, stop moaning, you old mini, and come and join me and lose weight at this amazing new slimming club."
No, I couldn't, Grant.
"Graham."
"Not in front of all those other people."
"But I said you're used to appearing in front of people."
"Long ago, that is true. But not the size I am now."
I eventually left her that night, she resting her head on the counter.
"Nobody loves a fat girl."
And to be honest, thought, probably never set eyes on her again. The pin-up duck of my youth.
Wendy!
Oh, don't look so surprised, Clive. Who else were you expecting?
Wendy!
Well, are you going to let me in? Or am I spending all night on the doorstep?
Wendy Wobblikins!
Clive, I wish to enter our house. But you're clearly blocking my way in for some reason. Why? Anyone would think you've got a woman in there, Clive. Clive, you haven't got a woman in here, have you?
Only in a manner of speaking.
Clive?
Well, it's just some drunken old floozy.
It's not Mrs. Enright, is it?
Oh, good heavens, Wendy, no. No, but it is someone else, dear.
Hi.
Who didn't quite make it to your class tonight, Wendy, but who bumped into someone called Greg. Griff, Grant.
Graham?
In the Mucky Duck pub, instead.
Wind back an hour or so, and Clive is arriving back home. After an evening in which the toilet tissue industry had yet again overlooked him.
Hey-ho. Hello?
Is that you, Mr. Bottomley? Neighbour opposite, head of neighbourhood watch, Mr. Bottomley?
Yes.
When you drove in just now, I presume you did not spot an inebriated person crawling on all fours up your drive?
What?
By having the lamppost situated right outside my house, I have a clear view day and night of what goes on chez vous, Mr. Bottomley. Now, let me first put your mind at rest. I don't think it is Mrs. Bottomley, Mr. Bottomley. And, of course, what you get up to whilst Mrs. Bottomley is out with her bathroom scales of an evening is, of course, up to you.
What?
However, I see through my binoculars now that the woman has apparently fallen into your very small springy hebe. No, no, the woman in question is up on her feet once again. Whoops-a-daisy. And heading, I think, doorbellwards now.
Oh. Oh. That is why there is a woman here, Wendy.
I see.
A woman who apparently wants some sort of private weighing with Wendy.
Obviously you recognise the name right away. It's Sally Squires, Mrs. Bottomley.
Who?
Who apparently used to be an actress, game show hostess and duck in some sort of previous existence.
What I need to know urgently is, have you any experience with dealing with celebrities?
Apparently she doesn't want her weight to become common knowledge in case the BBC here.
Oh. Oh, Mummy, are you still up? Of
course I am. So, how did it go then?
What?
Your first date.
Oh, that. Okay, so date was a bit of a wind-up on my part, it's true. But it had cheered Mummy up no end. As a matter of fact, I've not just been out with one woman tonight, Mummy, but two.
Oh, I knew it. Didn't I tell you, given half a chance, the girls will all be fighting over you?
Trouble is, the girls in question did have a combined age of over 80-odd, Mummy.
So what's Mummy been telling you for ages? You've got to start somewhere, eh, Graham?
On next week's show, Imaginary Blue Peter viewers, Jelly Kelly Chambers goes on to reveal a dark and quite frankly amazing secret, while yours truly confides in me old mate Lee Dubs. Perhaps not the wisest of moves.
In episode 2 of Fat Chance, Graham Pitscotty was played by Gareth Cork, Wendy Bottomley by Janine Davitsky, and Clive Bottomley by Michael Troughton. Sue Pitscotty was Anne Reed, Tina Tattersall, Julia Deakin, Sally Squires, Francis Jeter, Kelly Chambers, Tilly Gaunt, and Lee Dubs, Harry Myers. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Fat Chance is written by Jenny McDade and directed by Sally Abrams.